Hello, I'm Papa Biceps. You're watching the Torin YouTube channel. And remember, don't fuck with Papito.
Wee woo, wee woo, wee woo. That's the Carrigan alarm when he competes. You two, you two, you two. That's the Gamersups alarm, letting you know you two can save 10% off all Gamersups products with the code Thorin, Thorin, at gamersups.gg. Maybe try the Sakura Splash flavour. It's a lovely sour cherry. Or how about Bloodlust? It's a very delicious berry blend. Now, obviously, the blockbuster move. By the way, this isn't just the move of the year in terms of like the scale of it, the marquee box office nature. This might be the biggest move in the history of Counter-Strike when you consider the implications on the two teams that are involved and what it could do to the fortunes of both. This could quite literally mean FaZe Clan, one of the most iconic teams for like 10 years at this point in time, is just irrelevant. Often people's favourite or second favourite team, the one with all the magic and the FaZe bullshit. But also, this could mean Falcons. Suddenly, the super team just won Master. You could add a star, Goat IGL. You could actually win the major and go to the absolute heights of the game and even beat Vitality. And who knows, even maybe there's even a universe where you could contend to actually overtake them and become the new hegemon of the Counter-Strike 2 space. So obviously, the blockbuster move is Falcons, it's reported, but it seems very likely it's happening, is signing Carrigan immediately after IEM Rio, which is ongoing at the time of recording. And the idea is he will play at the IEM Cologne Major, which obviously he'd failed to qualify with FaZe. And we're going to assume the two events in between, which is like, I know one of them is that like Asia, CS Asia tournament or something. And then there's PGL Astana, I think, which is actually how you say it, Astana, not Astana, but whatever. It's all good. We have a Western way of saying things too. So let's start with the classic Thorin format of the player leaving the team. So the idea that he's leaving FaZe, is that the right move for either party? Well, first of all, I actually saw people, this blew my mind. I actually saw a decent amount of people implying like, maybe the framing was FaZe had kicked him and then Falcons got him, which is like, what? I think that's the least likely framing possible. Hence why people rushed to put that twists post out from Discord where it was like, it was sudden or whatever, like implying he didn't know that he was going to leave. Now, the reason that's nuts to me is certainly I'd heard a rumor last year of like maybe they had considered replacing it, maybe even with Rain. Maybe Rain could have become IGL in FaZe. And that's why when they added twists, they didn't actually have Rain already, but fully benched and definitely out the team. Maybe there was a period where they wondered, was Carrigan just going to step down? Would he retire? I've heard maybe his contract was going to run out at some point this year, which also makes me wonder, is his contract right at the end? A bit like what happened with FaZe when they were going to sign Simple. So there's only a few months left. So you think that it makes the buyout more reasonable? By the way, the buyout for a Falcons is obviously much more reasonable when you have way more funds than it is for a FaZe, which I suspect don't have funds, despite what K-San of FaZe Esports claims. Because, I mean, he just sounds like an idiot when he says they have funds and that this is the team they put together and think this team can win, innit? So, to me, I think the idea he was kicked is very unlikely. To me, the obvious move here is FaZe, with this iteration, doesn't have an obvious way out or a signing or a big name that's going to come in and make them better. It's utterly failed. Like, this was so bad, the level they were playing at in the last month or so, especially when they went to those small lands and just couldn't get the key wins, that actually, the rest of them are fucked. For this upcoming major cycle, they can play out IEM Lantern, the odd event, and Blast Rivals or whatever. But the problem they have is they're not going to be at the major, and they're going to lose all the VRS points, and they're going to be at a point where they won't have invites for next season. They're going to be stuck in a very difficult position. And either FaZe needs to buy individual players and just get way better at the game, maybe they need to go and buy some foot players, or they need to go and actually sign a VRS core and just add it to, I would say, Twists and Frozen, and start over at, like, I don't know, position 25th in the world and get the odd invite into tournaments. Instead, if you're Falcons, you were already a contender for the major, but you were a very loose contender. You were sort of the dark horse element of if everything went right, okay? Because you haven't really been a true threat beyond Blast Bounty this year, have you? So the problem is, if you're Falcons, this looks way more like actually Falcons. People are putting this on Carrigan. I see this as Falcons opportunistically. We're like, wait a minute. This is one of the only times ever when Carrigan definitely, in theory, would be available. And you know what? If we want to throw a Hail Mary with this, with maybe Zonic as our coach, Nico as non-IGL, and this iteration of Falcons, which so far, it has failed. It's not even as good as the one the exact same lineup in the second season of last year, which truly was contending for everything, including the major. So if you want to throw one last Hail Mary, this is the biggest Hail Mary possible. It's also a pretty fire Hail Mary, even though, like all Hail Marys, it could absolutely fail and fuck up and you could lose. But that's why you do it, because you're going to lose otherwise anyway, aren't you? This version of Falcons wasn't going to win the major. It was so incredibly unlikely. Even if they, by the way, the joke is they're one of the more likely teams that could have beaten Vitality, could beat a Fury, could beat any of those top teams, but then they could lose to a Paravision, a Na'Vi, these, maybe even a Mouse. These sorts of teams would probably be able to get them in the right circumstance. So if you look at Carrigan leaving FaZe, the reason why immediately this is a slam dunk you do this is because there was no indication FaZe was ever going to get the pieces you needed to make your style work. And if you're not doing your style and you don't have a coach that lets you do your style, what's the point in being Carrigan? You've established this incredibly legendary career with your own idiosyncrasies, much like other people have, Alexi B, James, etc. But you're here and you already know your game can win now and can have massive results now, and can yield to the biggest trophies, but you aren't in the position to do it in FaZe. Now, I don't put that entirely on the other pieces. I also think this is why Carrigan had to be way more aggressive and proactive behind the scenes previously with FaZe Clan to make sure they understood, I always have to have superstar players. I don't mind the move they made going into 2025. I hate that they let Rops go, because it was clownery if you know what went on behind the scenes. Even if they won the major, as I've told you before, he would have left anyway because of how they'd handled it. But getting a leash on paper was a decent gamble. That wasn't some huge Hail Mary. That was a move where it looked like he should be good. He was to some degree. And you still thought, if you looked at that roster on paper, assuming Brokey got his game together, which he didn't, but that was possible to win. Even the one where they brought Simple in, there was real hope around that team. It's actually way more plausible that team could have won the Budapest Major at the end of the year than the one that bullshitted their way to the final and then had no business doing anything in that match. So for me, the reason there's no indication they could change is they did the Jacob signing in the first place. I hope that was a stopgap move, just to test it out. If he was good in the first month or two, you keep him. If he isn't, you just move on from him. Maybe even just bring Rain back into the lineup. Instead, they actually committed to Jacob and sent Rain off to fucking 100 Thieves to become an IGL. I think that was very, very poorly timed if you think about the context of what's happened since and the fact that beyond the major, you've never really had your shit together. Whereas the joke is, when you actually couldn't use him and you had to play that pro league, you were threatening to actually make like the final and you were dark horse to win with a roster that never played together again. Then not only did you sign Jacob and keep him, you then even kept Brokey, who was so obviously busted before Simple joined, before Austin, but afterwards looked terrible beyond his first event. And you could even tell at the major, like, there's just no way this can continue. He's done it for like two series. This can't continue on. He's going to have a regression back. Brokey, my problem is this. I don't know that he's actually a true all-time great. He was only really that good, if we're being real, for like 2 years. I give him 2 years. So my problem is, he might be considered a great player because of his accomplishments and he's been HLTV. So you know what? Here's my problem. I would put Brokey, funnily enough, like I think his analog from CSGO, like JW. JW isn't in a GOAT conversation about AWPers or riflers. But if you want to talk about some of the best riflers or AWPers ever and players, he'd be in the AWPer discussion. It's just he isn't in the upper room with Kenny S and Zwoo and Simple and Device and Guardian and the guys who were having that discussion of who was the actual GOAT AWPer. He's on the outside looking in at that. He just had brief periods where he was very good or was approaching the best and was as a top 10 player. Brokey was sort of like that for a couple of years. JW also did it for a couple of years. And it was crucially having those pieces as complementary pieces to the style of the team, FaZe, 2022, a bit like Fnatic 2015 in terms of how they play on stage and the way they exploit the opponent and play off sort of individual timings and feels. That's why there was a comparable players. But you also need the star elsewhere. You need your Olofmeister. You need your Rops. You need pick your player, Flusher. You need your Twists. You need your Frozen, just like you need, who else at that point? Crims at this point in time, I guess. It depends what the analogy is going to be. So not only do you keep Jacob, you keep Brokey as well. And then in the meantime, people have to tell me this. Oh, well, if they don't have money, Thorin, how can they get big name players? Well, you at least get players that are either proven but available or look like they can be a good player or better than the current player you've got. So I'll give you an example. The idea you let Passion UA be the one to loan Senzu is utter insanity. It's a loan, for fuck's sake. You don't even have to sign him permanently. That should have been a player instantly slotted into this team instead of someone like a Jacob. That would be a gamble that could have actually not only got FaZe to the major, could have had them with the chance to make a playoff run. Then how about, since Brokey Becky's just bad now, and his style just doesn't work either. How about get Fawzi? Why is he going to Astralis? You think he's not going to say yes to come play in English with Carrigan instead of going to play in English with Huxley and a Lithuanian player? Like, what are we talking about? These are layups. I even think try from Passion UA was worth a try also. You see, he's got something to his game. He's better than Brokey is and has been for months. Now, there is obviously the whole comms issue, but I don't think I'll do a massive section on that. That could be its own separate video, and I also addressed it on a talk show recently. So you had not only Twist saying that, but then you have this guy, K-San, one of the people within the org. This is the guy I'm pretty sure last year was the one saying when Simple was owning, like, we got to sign this guy. It's awesome. Everyone loves him. And then after the team was supposed to leave, apparently Carrigan was falling broken, saying, come back, bro, you up? And then actually the team didn't fuck with Simple, and that they never were going to sign him, that he was too expensive. And besides, why did they want him? Like, give me a fucking break. How does that make any sense? It doesn't, does it? It's nonsense. Like the other stuff he's saying, like, we have money. Well, then what are you fucking moron? Why don't you spend it? Everyone makes fun of all these other teams. Fucking Falcons, people spending millions of dollars, Liquid or whatever. Why aren't we making fun of these people? They say they have the money and then they think this team can win. That I can't even believe he's saying that out loud. Again, I addressed this on some talk shows. We don't have to go into it. Now, one thing I will address before we get to the Falcons side is this bizarre element of him leaving FaZe Carrigan, where it's this narrative that he either betrayed FaZe the org, Frozen the player, or Twists. Right, FaZe, he definitely didn't betray. If anything, you could argue he stayed over 1 year too late. I actually thought in that second season in 2025, if I'm Carrigan, unironically, I am reaching out to people like, not Falcons, because at the time you would have thought the Zonic Nico thing meant he couldn't get there, isn't it? And if anything, they've got so much money, they can in theory bid for anyone. I would have been reaching out to teams like Mouse, G2, maybe even a Liquid. And I would be saying to these teams, because I think these teams have good pieces, just sign me for a 1 year or one season contract. I'll tell you what, I'll win you a major or a prestige tournament because you've got the pieces. I even think you could say that about an Aurora if they're willing to speak English. You've got the pieces where if I have your team, we can win. I would even throw it out there, by the way. If you want to go really crazy, you wouldn't do it now unless you also had a deal to sell Krabeni to someone else. But let's say you sold Krabeni to Falcons, then you could put Carrigan on foot. You give him those players and tell him trust his calls. They will fucking dominate the T side. They already do anyway. They would peel off tier one tournaments with all the teams there. So to me, I think it's ridiculous this idea of betrayed FaZe. He waited till the bitter end. He even kept practicing. I can tell you he took a lot of it to heart. And at the end, he was trying every single thing. He tried every map in the map pool for the last year and a half. He tried different roles with people. Literally, obviously, he even allowed his boy Rain to be removed from the team. He brought Brokey back and tried him. He tried it. He let Simple come in temporarily. He had Elise at one point. He's done everything he could do, largely without really complaining. He's often put it on himself and the shoulders of the players, and he hasn't really blamed the org too much. Just towards the end, he made it clear he's not the one making the moves, apparently. But the idea he was loyal to a fault to FaZe, and I think this is exactly where they've sunk the ship. They've refused to block up the holes. They've refused to patch up the ship and make it better and make it get you a new sail. At that point, you're not obliged to go down with the ship. He's not Zonic. This isn't his project in that sense. He's not like the managing director or technical director of FaZe. He's just the in-game leader, mate. And he's a brilliant one, a great captain. But it's not his job to actually go down with the ship in this sense. If he still has one last run or one last year, one last team in him, then absolutely go get yours. Yeah, it would have been a cool narrative if he could have retired in a FaZe jersey. FaZe didn't allow that. FaZe didn't do their part, keep up their part of the deal. Then the idea he betrayed Frozen. You know what? If the rumours are, some semi-confirmed by Frozen, that he could have joined Na'Vi in the second season of last year, then one, I think Frozen made the wrong decision. More fool him. That's a little lesson for him in his career, that you don't sit around and wait when you could make a key move that could help you win today, because how many more years do you get to have peak rifle ability? Probably two or three more. You never know. Five more if you're a truly epic player. But you have to make use of those. You can't know what's going to be happening 3 years down the line. So if you have a chance now to go to a team that can win now, just like Carrigan just has, I would suggest you do it. So if he chose to stay out of some notion of loyalty to Carrigan, I'd have to know, did Carrigan ask him that? Did he talk to Carrigan? Carrigan convinced him to stay? If he didn't, if he just did it of his own accord, then I don't think Carrigan did betray him. If Carrigan said, yeah, stay and me and you all win together, you could argue then he might have done, Carrigan might have done him a little dirty. The idea he betrayed Twists is actually fucking absurd. This is one of the maddest angles I've ever heard. Think about this. Oh, imagine how upset Twists would be. If someone who at one point in the team they were in had been the IGL and wielded power and had decision over roster moves, then decided to just up and leave that team before his contract ended because results were too bad, he wasn't getting the playoff runs he wanted, and just went to a better destination with better players, or as he perceived it, a chance to win now. So you mean exactly what Twist just did in Team Liquid? By that logic, Twist betrayed Team Liquid and all the players in there. He betrayed Nerds for joining, Shuey for joining, and his fucking Elise couldn't play in the team because he was in the squad. Like, give me a fucking break. It's nonsense, isn't it? No one thinks that about Twist. I hope they don't. I hope they understand Twist did his time as well. And then eventually, when he thought the team wasn't good enough, he went to another destination. And we're all big boys and we're all professionals. And we all take care of ourselves first. And then we figure out what we can do with the team to win. If you're not in a position to win, it doesn't matter how great you are, how lovely you are, how what great camaraderie, how much you trust people. You have to have the pieces and the potential to win. So I think the craziest angle of this, what makes it so blockbuster beyond the potential GOAT IGL, I think maybe he's the GOAT IGL, joining like maybe the GOAT Rifler, at least in terms of longevity, and like what could one day be a GOAT player, a GOAT AWPer in Monacy, and then the GOAT coach, as people used to think. That on its paper is already beyond box office. It's a super team on a super team on a super team. It's a giga hyper meta super squadron, isn't it? It's unbelievable. It's a super team X4. It's into the power of four. It's insane. But it's even spicier when you consider the context of some of those people he's joining, like the aforementioned GOAT Rifler and GOAT Coach, because Nico and Zonic are people who had him kicked and replaced in his position as IGL and on their teams. So Nico, most famously, in 2017, they joined up. They were immediately really good. The problem is, during pretty much his whole tenure with Nico, it was actually Carrigan that was perceived as the one who was having the leadership issues and the choking issues. And he was the choker, not Nico, because Nico was still young in his career. And you know what? Nico isn't wrong if he thinks that. Carrigan, I know, also agrees with it to some degree and knows he overcame this years later. And actually, that difficult lesson and experience is what allowed him to become a better captain and a better leader and to get more decisive in the big moments. Because you know what? He was a pussy in the late game in massive tournaments when it was time to win. And it was those like golden rounds that later he became maybe the best ever at. Like, if you think about in the first roster, the one where they had Rain and Nico as the stars, but they didn't have Guardian and Olaf yet, that was the time period when they got to win a tournament over Astralis, who looked like they were going to have their own era with Kirby. Then they became just a solid top two team. They went into the PGL Krakow Major and they went 0-3 and bombed the whole event completely. Then they did the massive super team gamble and got Olaf Meister and Guardian. Olaf was a bit wrecked at that point in time, but Guardian was obviously still fucking mega and had a career renaissance in phase at that time. With this insane roster, kind of comparable to Falcons right now, he showed himself to be someone who did break down and had massive issues in the big pressure games. He won tournaments when his team just won by virtue of shooting people and dominated. But then you think about NIP at IEM Auckland, Cloud9 at E-League Boston, Fnatic at IEM Katowice, Big in the semi-finals of ESL1 Cologne. These were four massive moments, three of them at prestige events, where the game was there. FaZe is the better team. They have the better players. They're even in positions to win these games and they can't get it done. And one of the reasons why is I do think Carrigan back then used to be a great leader right until the biggest moment of pressure hit. And then I think he would try and play it safe because he had such good players and think we'll either trip over the finish line, they'll make an easy mistake we can exploit, or one of our players will just do like a 3K, we'll win this last round. And so you saw, just like the end of the Boston game, he called some kind of sus calls, a little bit gambly in a way where it wasn't like a good gamble. It was more like you just waited until the end and then forced a contact play, or you push through a smoke as a team and hope there's not a guy there. Well, the problem you had in all these instances is you're playing against underdogs. And these underdogs had no fear because they, in theory, are not supposed to win. They're not even supposed to be able to win. They're playing such better players that they're just fucking sending it. They're throwing caution to the wind, as the old cliche goes. Now, what's obviously ironic is, even though I actually semi-agree with Nico kicking him for that reason, I don't agree, because who were you going to get instead? I've told the story before. He thought he could get Exist, Flusher, and then he did go for other superstar names of the past. The big, I always said he's a bit of a star fucker, isn't he? So instead, he did go for Adren, Neo, this, what he wasted his time with in the coming years. He even did it himself for a while, won tournaments like Epicenter, and later on some blasts when he had Cold Zero, didn't he? My issue is, though, those people weren't as good at the time and wouldn't have been more proven winners at that time as Nigel, that's why actually people exist that they turned the gig down, with those players, nobody at that point in Counter-Strike had the status and the ego and the confidence to actually command that room of the greatest like Hall of Fame players ever, get them all to listen to you and to win. That's why it wasn't until Carrigan got like actually a slightly depowered phase in 2022, but still really good HLTV top 20 type players and all-timers. That's the first time we ever saw someone really lead a team like that and win the championships. Remember, people like Fnatic came up together. People like Astralis and TSM came up together. This was where you're coming in with all the proven players and they're only there to win the major. And if you can't deliver that, you can't deliver the big moments, then yeah, I get why Nico wanted to kick him. The obvious irony being, Nico himself turned out to have exactly those issues and still does to this day. And you could actually argue they've gotten worse. Meanwhile, and obviously he became the in-game leader himself, which, by the way, could happen again here, which is hilarious. He could obviously let Carrigan work here. Maybe they win the major, maybe they don't. And then he could just kick him and Nico could become the IGL. Lol, this time I did it again. Oops, I did it again, Nico. So the other part for me is, if you think about it, I do think Carrigan overcame that aspect. I think he became one of the best decisive callers ever. He started doing it already in 2019, Mouse, when they were underdogs. But then he got to that FaZe Clan. And you remember the final of I am Katowice. That could have been a loss. They could have lost that 3-0. He had stand-ins. Then you go to PGL Antwerp. He made those massive balls he called late in those games that allowed them to beat a Na'Vi, which probably still should have nicked that and had a little error. Then they had the Cologne later. Na'Vi team again. Simple's generally playing out of his mind in the tournament. They get the big calls. They get the big players. It's his team now that makes the players in the golden rounds, in the championship rounds, in the moments which are the most memorable and actually define a series. So I think he reinvented himself, just like Device went from perennial playoff choker, won't get it during the big game, to the best player in the big game, guaranteed to win if he has the pieces around him at like three majors in a row. Similarly, Carrigan went from he's really good at winning like medium tournaments, and he'll make like a semi-final run at a major, but he won't win you it, to this is the guy that if you give him even vaguely competitive pieces, he'll fuck around and make the final of the semi-finals of every major he's at. He'll always be in there with a shout. And if you get to the stage, everyone knows it's scary what he can produce. Then you've got the Zonic angle, right? Zonic, if people don't know, he wasn't in the TSM in 2015 when Carrigan was there and they won the five tournaments. In 2016, they came into the year with this insane top four streak, they'd gone out the group stage every time into the playoffs, and they brought in Zonic as their coach. He'd previously tried to come back to play again with like the MTW core, but then it didn't work out. He came in, obviously he was beginning as a coach himself, and that year just went disastrously. They finally lost their streak of making playoffs, so they decided to kick Cage and got Kierby, who was like the young stud on Dignitas. The problem was, Kierby's role on Dignitas was basically Dupree's role in Astralis, so they had to figure out how we're going to make these two work. And early on, actually, there was a problem. You couldn't really get Kierby working in the game, so you just weren't as dangerous. You weren't winning tournaments anymore. You went later in the year, they were having their problems. I always thought the one that really got him booted was actually that, like, it was either the WESG qualifier where they lost to Godsent, where like Device was carrying the fuck out the game and they just blew it. And Flushy did like a big comeback, I think. Or it was the Power LAN, which was an all Danish LAN. And that was the one that was won by, I think it was either called like Team X or maybe it was already called Heroic. And even though it had Astralis, Dignitas, they should already be top two, the two best Danish teams. It was actually the Team X / Heroic team with Snappy and Valdi that won that event. I always thought these were the results that really got him kicked. This was where Zonic decided and famously said himself publicly, like, I'm the one benching him. I am choosing him. And then they did their own Hail Mary and brought Glaive back out of the wilderness. And obviously that ended up being a fantastic move. Yielded four majors, didn't it? Then you've got to consider that was the first year of Zonic though. Zonic then went on. He had a lot of success in Astralis. Then he went to Vitality. He actually didn't have success at first. He had his own super team on paper. Didn't have the success. They got in Sphinx, another star. Then they could win a pro league, but still at the majors, they were just going out in the group stage. They were making a fool of themselves. In fact, even RMRs, they used to fuck up and sometimes have to go to the major and play in the first Swiss stage even, even though they were like the third best team in the world or fifth best team in the world or whatever. So then you come to 2023. I've heard it's more actually on the Apex side of things that they figure out a little bit. Maybe Zonic had his role in like limiting Dupree's role, but they had to figure out how to play a little bit more up-tempo since they're an English language speaking team, play around Zebu a little bit more and play off him. And when they did that, they won IM Rio, they won the Blast Paris Major, they made the final of the Blast after that and narrowly lost it Heroic. And basically they went into that player break, then they came out of it, obviously then you brought Flames in, etc. And then Zonic was gone anyway over to the Falcons, wasn't it? So he only had a brief time in Vitality where he was really cooking. working, where he made that style work like he had anything comparable to in Astralis. But it wasn't his style, was it? He made a style work, but we don't know that he would have done that long term because he went to Falcons. So for me, Zonic himself has changed and is a different person. And I would hope now has learned that his style doesn't work in CS2. He has to play more like that latter day Vitality than like Astralis. I think you've seen that this Falcons team cannot play that level of structure. They have to play looser, and crucially, they have to streamline the game. Otherwise, you're going to end up with these scenarios, the infamous screenshot meta, where like they've probably got like double-digit screenshot meta, but other top teams, you couldn't even find those rounds. You can find one every now and then, even that's questionable. They have some of the worst ever, like, look what happens a second after this round. They have some of the worst to ever be witnessed in Counter-Strike, despite having absurd talent levels inside the squad. So I hope, even though in theory there is a strong style clash between Zonic, Zonic is the more structured Danish CS guy. Carrigan's always been the actual iconoclast, an unorthodox Danish IGL, hence why he doesn't work with Danish players. He is the guy who works with a bit of a looser team based around his mid-round calls, and then late in the game, he takes full control and sort of hive minds the team, and then they make individual players out of that and reads the opponent like a book, doesn't he? So I would hope that he actually is coming and that Zonic is humbling himself and gets that his style didn't work in CS2, and he's going to humble himself, let Carrigan be Carrigan, and they're going to win together, and actually Zonic's going to learn a thing or two himself from Carrigan. Let me give you an analogy. Supposedly in 2007, when Randy Moss, the all-time great, maybe the best wide receiver ever, at least in terms of talent, joined the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, who at the time was already a candidate for the GOAT coach, even says, since his whole game was mainly defensive side of the ball, he actually says, that player taught me more about the wide receiver position than anyone else ever did. The point is, even a great coach is willing to learn from an individual who was so exceptional at their role, they know more about their role than you do of the overview of being a coach. So I would hope that that's the case. Because if you're coming in with people you've had beef with in the past, with Nico, Zonic, and you've got these massive names to command, Monacy, you've got people who are getting paid $1 billion, they're rich as fuck, giant contracts, you're there temporarily, you have to produce results. I would hope, I think one of the problems in their team, it's been a speculation I made and a hot take point made, is I think within Falcons, people are too comfortable with giant salaries. And even Zonic, who says it's his project, he can do everything, no, I think he wants to keep his job. And I think almost playing not to lose, as it were, is what they're all doing all the time. That's why you get those stupid rounds. And I think people like Nico don't actually fully give all their opinions about what's going on. They don't work on some of the issues they have with choking, because right now, fuck, just don't mess anything up. I'm getting crazy money. I'm in a top team. I'm playing with Modesty. I have a chance to win. What a great life this is. I think the only person in theory who should be killing himself to try and win, metaphorically in the game, is Monacy. He's the one who's hitting his prime, and he's not getting the rest of it. If you're Zonic, hey, you just stay where you are. You hope eventually they win and get you over the line. If you're Tessus and Kixon, you take what you got, mate. You just do what you can. You say, yes, sir. You do it. I've never thought they let Kixon actually play his style. It looks to me more like some weird amalgamation of how Zonic, Nico, and maybe the others think they should play, and a little bit of input from Kixon. He calls the rounds, but it doesn't look to me like he has full control like he did in Heroic and Apex, which actually were teams that were already competing on a comparable level relative to the talent they have. So I would hope Carrigan is the only person, just like he couldn't do in 2018, who can walk in that room and have the balls to tell everyone, none of you know what you're doing right now in CS2. Shut the fuck up. Listen to me, because I do know, and I can win, and you will win if you play with me and do what I say. If they do that and he gets that buy-in, they can win everything, including this major, and beat Vitality. And the reason why I think it's possible he might do that is because not only has Carrigan learned how to be a captain, but he has nothing left to lose. If this doesn't work, surely he just either goes to a smaller team or he just straight retires. The upside for him is insane. He may as well tell them what I've just said. Because if it works, he wins everything. If it doesn't, he's out anyway. And surely eventually, you know that Damocles sword of fucking Nico IGL has waved over your head the whole time. How about for Falcons? I think this is the perfect type of IGL for Falcons to bring in. Here's why. So Luz Raposa, who's doing some interesting stats work, he has here, at the moment, top six highest firepower CT cores. So, at the top, you've got Vitality. Obviously, Zimu's making up a lot of that, isn't it? You've got over here, Spirit. So look at Donk, he's even bigger. You've got Kay Serato there. You've got Sphinx down here in Mouse. Here's the Falcons one. Monacy is behind only Donk and Zimu. Kiyosuke is ahead of every other second star type player. And your third one, Nico, is actually comparable to like Flames. Shiro's a bit better, I guess. But she was the second star. No, Zonic is doing badly. They already have about as much firepower in the star roles as you would ever want to have in Counter-Strike. Well, that's exactly what you didn't have in Fear, hence why Carrigan's game fell apart and his calls didn't work and he looked crap because he was just then a bad fragger making calls that people can't execute because they're not good enough. Now he's got the exact vehicle that he's the best driver ever in. This is the sort of team that has made Carrigan the GOAT IGL, because he's not the GOAT IGL from number of majors won. But he's the GOAT IGL in terms of nobody else could ever have done things he did to the level he did in the teams he did. Glaive did it in a very different team, in a very different way, in a very different era. And he was extremely, extremely good in that exact specific way. No one's ever done it to the extent and for as long as Carrigan has. And this is actually his chance to have a final insane chapter and do it again. So the reason I also think this is the perfect IGL is because actually I don't think there's a clash between Nico and Carrigan as callers. I actually think they have a very similar mid-round style that's based largely off intuitive feel. And since my theory is that when Nico chokes, his feel gets lost and he chokes as well, and that's why his teams collapse, because they always play his way, which is a bit like Carrigan's way. The difference is Carrigan's already overcome that issue. This could even teach Nico how to do that to be an IGL, and it could let Nico win now. And Nico, I always thought they had a brilliant combo back in CSGO. Rops wasn't the vocal caller like that, even though he was playing the lurky role. I always thought Nico and Carrigan could have gone down as one of the best caller, secondary caller duos ever, but they just didn't play together for long enough for obvious reasons I've outlined earlier. So if you think of that core of Monacy, Nico, Kiesa, they could crush. They already sometimes do, but not all at the same time. You give those weapons to Carrigan, it could go really badly. It could go as well as you possibly could ever imagine. Like, there's a world, if you do this right, by the way, like, Morrissey could become the best player in the world. There's a world where Kiyosuke could be, like, a top 5 player in the world, top 10 player in the world, like, within this year. Nico could probably still fuck around and be a top 20 player. He already sort of is to some degree, as shown by that firepower graphic. Now, obviously, they do only want this because Fierce failed. That's an obvious point to make here. Like, they wouldn't have come and done this move otherwise. Point that Pimp made on Counterpoints when that comes out. But the reason this is also a gangster move and the best Hail Mary ever is because fuck those other tournaments. Who cares about PGA Last and Art and fucking CS Asia Champ? They're just warm-ups for me. Who is the greatest IGL ever at honeymoon periods and working with stand-ins on new players? Oh, it's just Carrigan. He's done it in all of his teams. He joins within the first couple of tournaments, especially the big ones. You're already cooking. And everyone go, oh, but to establish the map pool, this is the greatest captain ever at establishing a map pool. He will immediately have 3 or 4 maps going immediately based on his calling style. And then he'll add in the other ones as he sees them in practice and officials when they're picked against him. And then start playing mind games in the veto, something he couldn't do in Fierce for 1.5 years. Another reason they looked ballless, quite frankly, as well as toothless, because they didn't have that edge. They had to just go on obvious maps and they never had a home map. You can have some home maps now, mate. This is the guy to actually make that happen. I would imagine immediately this team will be insane on Mirage. This team will suddenly look a lot better when they play an Inferno game. This is just, suddenly their nuke won't have holes in it where they can frag super hard, but also just get completely destroyed. These are obvious maps where Carrigan's going to get 2 Law Street immediately up and running by the time he's at that major. And what happens when you're at the major with Carrigan? Oh, he's also the greatest IGL ever for Major Magic. Sure, Glaive has an unbelievable run in that 3 years with Astralis, 3-4 years. The problem is, Carrigan was unbelievable at least reaching playoffs and majors and then doing shit at majors for like 10 years making majors. And then in playoffs and majors, what, at least the last 4 or 5 years, he's been mega. He's pretty much guaranteed to be like a semi-finalist, if not make the final, and really be in with a chance to win. That's exactly what you needed in Falcons. The majors is where they've had the most problems. Now, I will say this. A load of people online love to hate Falcons, but doesn't everyone love Carrigan? So I actually want to see, will this be a heel turn? Will people boo him? Will people treat him like shit? Or will this make Falcons more humanized? Will it sanitize them? Will it make them more lovable? Will people cheer and pull for Falcons in this crazy story? I will say the one area I do feel a little bit salty myself about this move is for Kixan. What did Kixan did not deserve for Wrecked, as the old meme goes? What did Kixan do wrong? He wasn't a great IGL, and I don't think he was actually good enough for this level of team. But he was doing his job. It was all right. He wasn't the person failing as some of the stars were failing. Yeah, maybe he didn't do the greatest calls. I don't know. I think he was somewhat handcuffed by Zonic and then some of the nature of the players where he can't tell people like Nico and Monsi to shut the fuck up and do what he's saying. But here's my problem. Technically, he qualified his team to this major. It would even have been in stage 3. He did a great job. And now he doesn't get to play that major. Why? Because Carrigan failed in phase. Like, here's what's weird. You all love Carrigan, so you're probably cool with that part. You don't really give a fuck about Kicksand. I don't. Just like when Brokey was benched and they brought Simple, I didn't really give a fuck because Brokey wasn't that good anymore. It's Simple. Simple and Carrigan, slam dunk. I want to see those players. They're some of my favourite players. But here's where everyone's a hypocrite. Because when Cypher from Fnatic qualified to a major and got replaced by Jacasmo, someone they thought could help them win more, you said that the team betrayed that player and everyone who was involved is a piece of shit. But is everyone involved with this move a piece of shit? Was everyone involved with that old phase move with Simple and Brokey a piece of shit? Shows how this is double standard. If you like them, then it's fine. If you don't like them, then it's outrageous and totally unacceptable. Again, CS royalty to do whatever they want, don't they? Now, let's be real. I don't care that there's so many people I've seen taking a negative angle. Oh, yeah, there is a negative angle. Here's a reality that can absolutely happen. They could go 1-3 in Swiss and just bomb out and not even actually get to the 2-2 game and look like an absolute laughing stock. And everyone will go, why'd you do that? Lol, more money wasted by the fucking Saudis and the Falcons. But you know what I think happens? I think initially you're 50-50 to make the playoffs. But if you make those playoffs, nail that motherfucker down if you're any elite team, because Carrigan's coming for it. The second they make the playoffs, you do activate the phase bullshit type Carrigan magic. It's mainly Carrigan, by the way. That's why I never wanted him replaced. That would just disappear immediately. You won't see it in phase now he's gone. If you give him Monacy, Nico, Kiyosuke, and he gets to the playoffs with them, watch him play mind games in the veto. Watch him make crazy ballsy calls, maybe on his last ever ride, to go and actually win this motherfucker on the last ever attempt. And if there's anyone with these players would believe he could beat Vitality, it's Carrigan, I can tell you right now. I've told this story before. Back in the day when he was going head-to-head with Fallen's SK Gaming and they had Colt here and Fur and Fallen himself, they were monsters. Everyone else just thought they'd keep winning. I remember Carrigan telling me, I should literally win every major trophy with this team or I failed because I've got the best players in the world. This guy doesn't make excuses like that once he has the pieces. And that's all an all-time great competitor wants. They just want the chance to win. You give them the chance to win, and then they will do the rest. And if they lose, then they'll take it on the chin and they'll know it was them that did it. But they will sleep well in their bed knowing that they gave it their all because they had the chance to win. And you know what? Because they're all-time great, they often do win, don't they? Now, if you want narratively, this is amazing for Carrigan, isn't it? I think it's more for Carrigan than Nico and Zonic, who, by the way, Zonic winning a CS2 major, that would help his GOAT case. It would also help redeem him. Nico, he's never won a major as a star. This would be massive, even though he isn't in CS GOAT. It's close enough. It would still mean a lot, even though he isn't maybe the main star right now. Who knows? Maybe he carries the final, though, and that looks awesome. And he has his own redemption arc. For Carrigan, though, he's already GOATed with or without this. But what an amazing last run it would be, where at least he gets, as I whined about last year the whole time, so I wanted to join a mouse or someone like that. I just wanted him to have the pieces to have a chance to win on his last year and see if he can do it one more time. So for me, this is the dream. Beyond when he got Simple, but that was briefly, and a Simple that we would have hoped in the second season would have had months under his belt to grind. These players don't need to grind. Like, he's already got amazing pieces for one last dance. Now look, on the face side, yeah, don't worry, they're fucked. Completely. Like, at this point in time, who's the IGL? It can't be Twisted, I'm sorry. If it is, again, it's over. You're not going to get through the online play. I don't know what you'll do with those VRS stands. I don't know who you're signing and what fucking talent you're going to get. It's going to be nobody, surely. If I'm them, by the way, just keep Frozen and Twisted and I sign a different VRS corner. I just rebuild from position 25 in the world or something. Obviously, they still have to play Blast Rivals, Atlanta. I don't even know who you get short-term to do that. Doesn't it have to be a stand-in or something? I mean, the joke is because you don't have him bench, you can't even bring Rain back. I have no idea. Surely it has to just be like Jacob's mates or some nobody up-and-coming player that's cheap or can come on a loan or is just willing to join stopgap style. I mean, answers on a postcard. Who do they sign? I will say one thing that leaves a bad taste in my mouth is that Carrigan specifically failed to make the major. I know technically he didn't fail the first time, they said, when he didn't qualify, because technically they could have gone to the HLC Belgrade tournament. If they'd won it, they would have made it. So it was just that being announced by the people who do the VRS points that he hasn't made it. But that wasn't like officially you're out and then somehow he got a second chance. They were able to find another invite, get there, and they had a second chance or an extended chance. But after they fail and you've reached the cutoff and there's no more ability to qualify, it does sit wrong with me that you have failed to qualify, but it's possible to then just hop over to suddenly even a contender, now have a chance to win the major. Something about that feels overly predatory. It feels like there should probably be eligibility rules. In fact, I'll use a Carrigan team himself that could have won a major that couldn't because of eligibility rules. Rewind. The aforementioned 2016 Astralis with Zonica's coach went to ESL 1 Cologne, the second major of 2016 after MLG Columbus, the one that was won by, also by Luminosity SK. And Astralis at this point in time is more of a dark horse to win, but they're still a pretty good squad. They've already brought Kirby in. The problem is Kirby was ineligible to play that major because he'd played, I think, the minor with Dignitas before he was signed. And so at the time, if you played it in the beginning of the major cycle for one team, you couldn't just swap to another team. Otherwise, people would play qualifiers, then the stars would hop to other ones. You need to keep having a million chances to make the major. So actually, if you don't know, they actually had to bring Glaive in, not as IGL, but as a fragging player. He went to the tournament. It's even famous, if you remember, where Glaive's like long collapsed and then Zonic had to play. And by the way, they still almost beat Virtus Pro in the round of 8 because Device carried and they would have made to the semis. So that's something that already happened to Carrigan. Why does Carrigan get to join this team? I want him to, but I don't understand why that's allowed. In my opinion, the only scenario after the end date of qualification where you should be allowed to add a player is if you can produce a real doctor's note saying they're ill. And then I think it should be a rule, like you have to add someone maybe even below a certain ranking in the world, or you have to add someone maybe who didn't compete in the qualification process at all. I don't know how you do it, but that, I think there has to be some sort of rule to make it so you can't just go and get a star. I mean, people will know way back in the day, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, there were sometimes teams where, because Na'Vi wasn't in ECS, sometimes Simple would just play as a ringer for like Mouse in an ECS game. And because he was the stand-in, he'd just carry the whole game and win the match for you. And you'd go, what? That you can't have basically like what will one day be the GOAT, one of the best players in the world, be the stand-in. So you ended up with an upgrade as a stand-in. There's something wrong. Something just sits wrong with me about that overall. And then lastly, I'll just say this. This is why when ESL does those skits where they make fun of what are obviously very real wounds and frictions in teams and like things about, like, remember they did the one about Ziwu and then they just released it when like Ziwu was shit in the bed in the tournament and made him look foolish. So to me, when you do those skits, this is why you got to be careful, because they come back and bite you. You look stupid. Like, that's Kicksand skit where he's in the temp and then they're implying he's going to get kicked shortly after fucking Christmas or whatever. And then that Carrigan's in there and he's like, Nico Kovac or whatever. Like, that's two on the nose. You're doing that on some copium. Like, Lord, yeah, well, since this isn't true, we don't mind playing with it. It was true and it has proven to be true. That wasn't like a stereotype or some made-up narrative. You have even continued and fulfilled exactly that prophecy that you unwittingly wrote and then allowed yourself to play out on. Like, I would make an SNL skit about that, but I wouldn't be able to get those players to be in it. Those players are in it. The real star doesn't act in the SNL skit. It's making fun of him and his life situation, isn't it? We're laughing at them, not with them. That skit is fucking mental now. So anyway, even though there's certainly a world this could go terribly, I don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying I can predict the future, but I believe this could do everything. I think there's a real chance this can just fuck around, even if it's just for like 3 or 4 tournaments, and it can go to the heights, and you can unlock some of these pieces, and there's still going to be flaws with Tessus and his role, etc., and how will Carrigan fit in, etc. But you just look at the superpower weapons. This is the ultimate glass cannon team, times two now. I said it before in Substack. Now it's times two, because it's the ultimate glass cannon team, piloted by the GOAT IGL, and the GOAT are exactly this sort of crazy super team, international squad with limited time playing together, who has to accomplish something now at a giant S-plus tier event. Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it, a special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.